thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Geekly Planet Podcast, where we talk about all things geek, because we all geek out about something, with your hosts, Pat Aldridge, TJ Tammer, and Matthew Hample. Make sure to check us out on the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And now on to this week's episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to your weekly installment of The Geekly Planet, where we talk about all the things that we geek out about. And even during the COVID-19 pandemic, we're still geeking out about stuff. TJ, what are you geeking out about these days?
Well, an update for our six listeners who heard last week or whatever. I am on track. I am done with season one of... I've made it all the way through season one of The Clone Wars.
So you watched The Phantom Menace.
And then I watched Attack of the Clones. And then I watched the Clone Wars movie and the entire first season of The Clone Wars.
You are my hero, my friend.
That's basically from here out for the next 8-7 seasons. It's 8 episodes a day, pretty much.
8 20-minute episodes a day.
Mm-hmm. Will give me the time that I need. And it'll actually, if I watch 8 a day, it'll be fine. Because that'll be, you know, there's... Let's see, where are we at? Hold on, let me pull up IMDb real quick. Okay. And the funny part is I've never watched The Clone Wars.
This is my first time.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah. I kept up with it. I know what happens. But this is my first time actually watching.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just never got around to it.
How many times have you watched Rebels?
Twice.
Okay.
Let's see. So there's 22 episodes in season two. Which means that in 3 days I will be 2 episodes into season three, or 22 episodes in season three. So 3 days later, so in 6 days, by the time we record next week, I should be at season four, episode 16.
Dang, dude, you are committed. You might need to be committed after you're done, but, you know.
Yep. So then, 3 days later, so 9 days, I should be at the end of season four. And then there's only 20 episodes in season five. There's only 13 episodes in season six. So that's what? 33. And then there's 12 episodes in season 11, so that's 45. And 45 divided by 8 is 5. So 5 more days, so 9 days will take me, it'll take me 9 days to watch all of Clone Wars.
Okay.
So today, because I finished season one today, so that means 9 days from now would be next Wednesday, I should be done with the Clone Wars. But then it'll be fine, because then that next, depending on when I get done on Wednesday, I mean, you jump right into episode three, and then you go right into Solo. And so it's two movies back to back. So it's episode three and then Solo. And so,
same day.
Well, no, I just meant it's two movies back to back. So that's episode three and Solo. If I watch them on the same day, then I've done 5 hours. And so that's why I've caught up, because I watched, because the movies, well, I'll just put it this way. I watched episode 1, 2 and the Clone Wars movie in the same day. And then it took me the rest of the week to watch 22 episodes.
Okay.
I just 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there.
Right.
So I use the movie days to catch up.
Got it.
Or to, you know, get ahead.
Right, right, right.
In case I miss anything. But so far, a weekend, I'm on schedule.
That is awesome, dude. That is awesome.
We'll see how it goes, because I got a bunch of the yard work to do. Did some this afternoon. And at least for this week, our temperature finally broke. So we're down. It was 80s, mid-80s today, but it only felt like 90. It wasn't 90 feeling like 108.
So you don't want to know that our temperatures here broke as well. We had like 3 days of rain that we desperately needed. But today's high was 75.
That sounds marvelous to me. That's where we are this week. We're in the 70s this week. On Sunday, if I go play golf on Sunday with the boys, it'll be 72.
Nice.
So it'll be absolutely perfect to play golf.
Yep, yep.
So we got a couple of days of rain coming in the middle of the week. I'm trying to get some stuff done. Like I said, before we jumped on the call, we're just demolishing our backyard, because between the guys from the trees leaving it an absolute train wreck, and then the guys grinding up the stump and leaving the piles, I mean, it's just, at this point, the only thing we can do is basically nuke everything and start over.
That sucks, dude. I'm so sorry.
So we're pulling all vegetation out, cutting all the little crepe myrtles, every piece of green out. And then we're going to put some topsoil down and reseed and actually have a yard as opposed to a root system from those trees. So,
sounds like a plan.
One of those things, home ownership is so wonderful because it's on you. So
you remember, like last June, I was telling you, like, we put money down on a fence. Yeah, they started today. This
is
was
that
the,
far behind?
No. They're that busy.
Wow.
So, yeah, the posts got dug and got put in, and they'll be back tomorrow to put up the fencing, and then Graham and Grayson will have a run of the backyard, which will be good, because as they're running in the house or outside on the leash, like, you know, I think my arm's been pulled out of socket a couple times, you know.
Yeah,
they need the leash, and then they freak out because, you know, here comes this piece of plastic hurling at them that they yanked out of my hand. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, they're high energetic dogs too, so they need a place to run.
Well, we took them to the dog park a couple weeks ago, and they both had a blast. Even Graham on his little broken paw was enjoying himself, and so. You know, at one point we thought we would save the money and just not do the fence. But then when we saw that, we're like, yeah, they definitely need a little bit of yard to run in. So 15 feet off the spike in the ground is not enough. So,
yeah, no. Yeah. And well, the good news is I did find out today that unless I just found the only post that wasn't cemented into the ground, that I don't think our posts were cemented into the ground, which is good because ours is a panel fence, a 6-foot privacy fence of panels from Lowe's or wherever. But basically that's good because that means I can just take my saw and I can cut a panel out and just pay the $40 to replace that one panel, as opposed to paying $8,000 to replace the whole fence.
Right, right, right.
So it may still cost me, you know, by the time it's all said and done, it may still cost me a couple $1,000s, and it'll look weird because the fence won't be the same thing, the same way. But if it really is that ugly, then I can just pressure wash the whole fence or paint the whole fence. But, you know, if I can spend a couple and save six.
Yeah, that's a done deal. That's an easy decision. Yeah.
And because I can do it myself, as opposed to, you know, because it really can't be that hard. Right. But dig a post, put it in the ground, dig a hole in the ground, put the post in it, plumb it up, make sure it's level, attach the cross beams, make sure they're level, and attach the pickets. Like, it can't be that hard. So
I have faith in your abilities, my friend.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if my wife does, but at this point, you know, just the cost that everything is right now, I mean, I got the time, and so I get to learn some new tricks.
There you go.
So, but yeah, that's what I've been doing. What you been doing?
So, I'm almost at the end of season 3 of DS9. Because right at the end of season 3 is when Worf comes in and joins. So, kind of excited about that. I am completely caught up on season 2 with the boys. And it just keeps getting weirder and weirder, dude.
Does it?
Yeah.
Obviously, I put a hiatus on it during my my Star Wars binge.
Yeah, you're a little busy TV-wise, so I get it.
I can catch up on it and read. I mean, I can read and we can have a conversation about it if you want to.
If you want to.
It's not. I mean, I have no desire. I don't have any feelings towards that show whatsoever. So, if I just need to read the plots and figure out what happens and then have a conversation, then you can, you know, I can talk about the plot itself and you can talk about how it looks and how it came across and all those things.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever we'll get to it. Whenever. So I sent you. During the week, I sent you an article from comicbookresources.com, CBR.com. And it was entitled, 5 Marvel Characters Who Belong in DC and 5 DC Characters Who Belong in the Marvel Universe. And I thought it would be fun to kind of pick that apart and see if we agree with this list.
Yeah, I meant to, when you sent it to me, I meant to respond that sounded like a great show idea.
Yeah.
Let me pull it back up.
Yeah, take your time.
Because I also read the other article you sent about the 8 future versions of superheroes with better costumes.
Yeah, that was a fun one, too.
Yeah.
Because there are some future versions of heroes with really bad outfits.
True. Yep. Yeah, the weird, the Iron Man, the Hyperpulse Mark IX armor or whatever, looks like an Omega symbol in his chest. It's just weird.
So, 5 characters that belong in the opposite company's universe. So we have 5 of each. So it starts out with number 10. Better at DC would be Captain Marvel. And this is the original Captain Marvel, the guy, the Kree soldier who was sent to Earth to prepare Earth for them being conquered by the Kree Empire. So I think I agree with this one in that this is more, you know, Green Lantern out in space, Superman out in space kind of feel to it. You know, yeah, he came to Earth and but most of his claim to fame is out in space. So, and I think that in my humble opinion, I think DC does that better than Marvel does.
Yeah, he's basically, you know, he's a you know, a pillar of virtue and power. And so he's, you know, basically he's more Superman-esque than Marvel doesn't really have a Superman-esque character.
That's what they were going for when they created him, but
yeah, it probably just kind of fell a little flat because I mean, if I think about it, I can't really think of a Superman-esque hero in Marvel. I mean, because if you think about it, really, and that's on the list. We'll get to it in a little bit, but we'll talk about it more. But really, well, we'll talk about it later because it's Captain America. But we'll talk about it.
Why don't you read this next one?
Number 9 is better at Marvel would be Wild Dog. For those that don't know who Wild Dog is, basically he's Punisher in hockey clothes. So yeah. he was an ex-Marine who watched a little girl that he loved, the girl he loved, to get gunned down. So he swore vengeance on them, and basically he uses submachine guns and stun gloves, and he fights violent, killing criminals. So he's basically, you know, the Punisher. So they're assuming that he would fit more in with Marvel, since that's where he's pretty much, you know, a Marvel character anyway. So except he wasn't a cop, so he's pretty much the Punisher.
Yeah. So yeah, he would be a good partner, sidekick to the Punisher. They would work well together. And I know they tried to introduce that character on Arrow, the CW show. And I thought it was okay. I thought it was, you know, a little unnecessary, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So the next one on the list would be better at DC would be the X-Men Colossus. I don't know that I agree with this one. I think the reason that they give, basically, that he has a strong moral compass that more falls in line with DC than it does with Marvel. But, you know, I mean, he's one of the mainstays of the X-Men. So you're hitting me in a soft spot there, and you know, I'm gonna get pretty defensive. But
my thoughts are, yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want him to move to DC. But basically, the funny thing is that, because of the way the movies have been handled, everybody thinks that DC is like this grim and gritty place. And it's really not, especially not in the comics. Like, Batman is straight up. He's a tortured soul, whatever, whatever. But you got to think about it. The Flash is not. Super virtuous, good guy. Superman, Green Lantern, like Wonder Woman. Like, these are not tortured souls. Like, these are, you know, paragons of hope and virtue and peace. Right. And so I see why they say that, because Colossus definitely is, he definitely has the strongest moral compass on the team for sure. And I would say one of the most. I don't know if there's anybody more virtuous than him. Like, he's really all about doing the right.
Right. And that, you know, that's what they're saying. So yeah, I would agree that there is, I can't think of an X-Men character who has more virtue than Colossus. And sometimes it gets him into trouble, but.
Oh, sure. You know. Yeah. It says the article brings out that even when he was possessed by the Phoenix Force, like, he still couldn't indulge the destructive tendencies like the rest of the people could, like, you know, cause the Phoenix, when they let it loose, can do some serious damage.
You're right.
But he can't, like, because his moral compass is so strong. So for those listening, basically their reasoning is going to be behind this is the grim and gritty, if you think about it, and really the morally gray, they all land over at Marvel. There's many more characters that are morally gray at Marvel than there are at DC, at least in terms of the comics.
Right.
So the next one is better at Marvel, they say, would be Lobo. For those that don't know, Lobo is basically the answer to DC for Wolverine, except taken to the extreme. Like, he's
from outer space, like, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he doesn't take any prisoners. He bust up and pushed it even further, and basically turned up Wolverine to 11 I mean, he's got a bad attitude and he's hella violent. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the point is, and what people don't understand about Lobo is, like, he comes bloat, like, he's a, you know, an anti-hero, whatever, but he comes blow to blows with, like, heroes in the DC universe as much as he does bad guys. So, yeah, I just think there, you know, and I think I would agree with them, you know.
Lobo fits better at Marvel.
Yeah.
So number six on the list is better at DC would be Jean Grey. And
her, man, another X-Man.
Yeah, you know, you're I feel attacked at this point. You know, and they're saying again, kind of like Colossus, it's her virtue that even when she was possessed with the Phoenix Force, you know, she was able to control it to a degree. And you know, it's that would be better at DC. So yeah, I guess I have trouble figuring out where she would fit over at DC. You know, I mean, because, like, you know, half of Marvel, they've all been Avengers. Half of DC, they've all been part of the Justice League. But, you know, if she's in the Justice League, I don't think she's that one of the top-tier people there.
Well, yeah, it just depends, because the thing about Jean Grey is, like, in the article mentions that they even retconned her story, the Dark Phoenix, so that she never actually gives over to the omnipotence that she could have, you know, given herself into. Instead, she took control of the Phoenix Force and whatever. And, you know, and they said she's basically a DC character anyway. And I get what they're saying. And, you know, but it'd be like if we just took these flips and we flipped everything. So far, you know, everything has seemed to pretty much work out in this list, where it's like, okay, that's cool. Like, there's not really anybody like Colossus running around DC. I mean, there's, you know, your boy on Legends, but, you know, anyways.
You don't want to talk about that?
Whatever. I mean, he's not bad. He's fine. But, you know, the thing is that Jean Grey is, like, she is a top-tier X-Men.
Right.
X-Man. X-Woman. Like, she... X-person. Her psychic ability... X-Person. Her psychic ability is only... And I still would say that Professor X still owns her own psychic ability. That's just my own personal opinion. Some people I know disagree with that. But, like, Professor X is transferring his consciousness into other people's bodies. So... Like Professor X is still the pinnacle for me on psychics. If, you know, as an outsider looking in, I'll defer to you. I'll defer to you and your Marvel savvy if that's the case.
Well, it's one of those things where it depends on who the writer is and what they're trying to do with the character, because there have been times when, you know, especially in the beginning, Xavier was. You know, and then you get into the Phoenix thing and it's power she's always, you know, untapped power she's always had. And, you know, you get in the movies where they've put psychic blocks on her, you know, to not let her use the full extent of her power. So, yeah, it's.
But have we ever really seen Professor X go to the full extent of his powers?
Right. That's the thing. And I think that's where the argument can be made.
Like, we've seen her go to the Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I don't think, even in Logan, when he was losing control, if you think about Logan, and I know a lot of people, I don't know. I mean, it's basically the old man Logan story. And so, you know, so Professor X, when he was losing control of his mind, like, just the damage that Wolverine was literally the only person that could have dealt with it shows you that, I mean, he was like, you know, 100 and was like putting in that work. Like, he was just wrecking people with his mind, and he had lost a lot of it. You know, and so, I don't know. It's like, but if she goes, anyways, but to get off of that, if you bring her to D.C., I mean, she's got, we got a psychic on the Justice League, Martian Manhunter, who can shapeshift, right? And Martian Manhunter, like, a lot of people don't know, but Martian Manhunter's a stud now. Like, he ain't no slouch. And but we hadn't got to see him in his full potential in any kind of movie or live action situation
yet.
You know, hopefully. We haven't yet. Yeah, hopefully. But you know, I don't know. Like, I think it would just be just like it'd just be redundant. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Wonder Woman and Superman, she would be redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the three of them, the Justice League, if you throw Jean Grey into the mix, I mean, that's just like everything loses. Just that's a wrap. Everything loses. You know. So anyways, all right. So better at Marvel is Guy Gardner. For those that don't know, Earth has many Green Lanterns. Hal Jordan, right, like they got introduced to Ryan Reynolds' character. Hal Jordan is the main one. You know, then you got his name just left me.
John Stewart.
John Stewart, that's the one I was thinking of. John Stewart's probably the next one. Guy Gardner, you know, so Guy Gardner, he's a Green Lantern, but he's weird because he's arrogant and he likes to fight. So he doesn't really fit the Green Lantern's like willpower, like kind of vibe. So, you know, basically, I mean, he's just really abrasive. And so that's my whole thing that was their whole thing. I agree with this. I think that he would fit in better at Marvel, where they're all busting heads and telling jokes. And
can you imagine him teaming up with Deadpool?
Oh my Lord.
That I would just take my money.
I know. It'd be crazy. It'd be crazy. So, anyways, pressing on. This one, I was intrigued to what you think about.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. So, better at DC is Dr. Doom. Yeah, Mr. World Domination. I mean, who over at DC doesn't want to rule the whole world? You know,
that's true.
I mean, you got Luthor, you got, you know, Joker, you know, the list can go on and on about who wants to take over the world. And, you know, that's the perfect spot for Doom to step in and just wipe the floor with all of them.
Yeah, I agree with this one because the villains at DC, like even the minor villains, have grandiose, like, you know, desires. Like, I mean, they're just ridiculous. I mean, Joker is crazy. But you got Dr. Doom, Dr. Doom is a beast. Like,
on several different fronts, too.
Yeah, like with the magic and the armor and just the fact that he's a genius. Like, dude is a beast. Yeah. And they waste him. Well, I'm not wasted. I feel bad. They waste.
they waste him on the
Fantastic Four. Like, we never see him go up against the Avengers. But even that would just feel weird to me if he went. And I know he has gone toe to toe with the Avengers.
Right.
And that's whatever. But everybody knows Dr. Doom from the Fantastic Four. Right, mm-hmm. you got a dude you got the thing. You got a girl that's invisible in force fields. You got a dude that can throw fire and fly, and you got a stretchy dude who's real smart.
How does he always lose to them?
I know. Like just imagine Dr. Doom going toe to toe with Superman or the Justice League. Mm-hmm. That would be crazy. So I'd be here for it, honestly.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
And get the next one. Yeah, I agree with the next one.
Do you?
Yeah, better. Deathstroke, man. Deathstroke has that Punisher kind of vibe to him. Like, he's the anti-hero or whatever. you know, he's just a, he's the Punisher, right?
He's like the Punisher mixed with Deadpool.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what he is. And so
for me, it's kind of redundant, but
yeah,
you know, I see the redundancy of it, but I see the point they're making that he fits the mold there better.
Yeah, and I mean, he ends up just fighting. Who ends up fighting all the time? He ends up fighting the Teen Titans, right? And so, like, he ends up on Arrow. And so, anyways, I mean, I get it. But just that vibe, he fits more in that vibe, and I get that one. All right, so hit this one. Go ahead.
Here we go.
The last two were crazy.
I can't wait to hear your responses. Better at DC, Captain America.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and we'll do the last one at the same time because the number one on this list was that Batman would be better at Marvel. Here's the deal. Give me a code swap right now. Give DC Captain America. Y'all can have Batman. That's how I feel about it.
Wow, dude. Batman's your boy.
I'm just saying, man. Like, y'all can have Batman. Give us Captain America.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, for Cap, it goes back to the virtue and always doing the right thing. And with Batman, I mean, it's the same thing. Always blurring the line, you know, always working in the gray area.
Well, they're the antithesis to each other. Think about it. On the Justice League, okay, you got Wonder Woman and you got Superman. And you got Green Lantern, The Flash. You got all these virtuous people, right? And then you got Batman,
who's the real
who hates everybody and has a stipulation or a contingency plan on all of the heroes because he's super skeptical. He's like, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you, right? And so
I'll work with you, but if you cross me, I will take you down.
Right. And I get that Batman is like the staple at DC and I understand that. So, but just taking that out, you got to take that out. Right. Yeah. So then, but you look at Captain America, look at the Avengers, right? You got a spy. Well, two spies, really. Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yeah. Spy, you assassin, got, whatever.
Right. A spy and assassin. You have, you got Iron Man. So you got basically the less broody version of Batman, right? Who's just more about tech than detecting, the detective, right? You got Thor, who's a god, but then you got Cap, and you got the Hulk, who, you know, whatever. Especially later when they turn him into, you know, Professor Hulk, and he's more in control of both,
right?
Like, he's super strong, but he's also, you know, he's got some brains with him.
Yeah.
But then you got Cap, who's this pillar of virtue, standing in the middle of nothing that has virtue. So just in...
And he holds it all together.
Yeah, and I get it. But just in all of that, straight up, you know... I'd take a swap. Go ahead. You let Batman be on Justice League, and on the Avengers, and Cap could be a part of the Justice League.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Well, dude, that was fun, and
So basically, here's what it is. Justice League stands as a beacon of what heroes should be. Right, like they're virtuous, they're noble, they honor, they're not cowards, they don't hit people when they're down, they're not out for themselves. Like, you got to think about it, the Flash. I mean, if you throw Captain America over there, Cap, Wonder Woman, Superman, like even Green Lantern, and you know, so you put all that in DC. The Avengers aren't that. Like, the Avengers were never set out to be beacons of what hope should be.
Right.
They were
out to right injustices.
Yeah, they were just the defenders of Earth. And so, you know, superhero people are there. And so they put a team together to defend Earth from things that Earth can't defend itself from.
Right.
Justice League did the same thing, but the way that they did it, like the Justice League never would have, the Ultron would never have happened in DC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like Batman wouldn't, his AI wouldn't have run off and tried to murder everybody. Now, Batman might go try to murder everybody.
Right. But that's a different story.
Yeah, but like Sokovia and killing all those people and the collateral damage and Ultron, none of that would have happened with the Justice League. Now, they might have been there to try to thwart some supervillains from doing it. But just like we talked about in another episode, how we could really get behind Iron Man being the biggest villain of the MCU.
Right.
Like, and that's the thing in Batman, too. Like, he causes a lot of problems, too, with, you know, the Joker and Penguin and Riddler and that rogue gallery of villains that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're kind of like a symbiotic relationship. You know, and so.
Yep. Anyway. So, before we have to sign off, give me one character that absolutely has to stay DC.
Off of this list?
No. Who's the one character that you can think of right off the top of your head that has to stay DC that wouldn't fit over at Marvel?
Oh, the Flash. The Flash wouldn't fit at Marvel. The Flash wouldn't fit at Marvel. They're trying to basically make Captain Marvel, who's like a hybrid of Wonder Woman and Superman. And, you know, but think about it. They don't have anybody like the Flash. They got Spider-Man, who's like, you know, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. But even the MCU is kind of running away from that and kind of pushing him more into this global Avenger thing instead of letting him be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think the one character at Marvel that has to stay, I think Wolverine has to stay. I don't think he would do. I mean, you have Lobo, who is just the extreme, almost absurd Wolverine, but you know, yeah. Wolverine has such depth because of how Marvel has used him.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, because you got Superman, Wonder Woman. Like, they're also, too, like, they're, you know, Marvel's not shook by aliens. And, you know, they definitely don't have the alien raised in Kansas who, you know, fights for America.
Right.
But, you know, it's just there's a bunch of things that like that. But I just personally, I just don't see. I mean, even Quicksilver is like a poor man's Flash. Like, I don't have anything feelings for Quicksilver whatsoever.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. He, you know, and he's just arrogant about the power that he has. So, especially in the comic.
Yeah,
not so
Flash
much in the movies, but.
Yeah. You know, and Flash is not, and I don't think people give Flash enough credit on DC. That's my own personal opinion. I don't think they understand how instrumental Flash is to the DC universe.
Right.
Like, I mean, basically, Flash, between Flashpoint and in other scenarios, Flash holds the DC universe together with the Speed Force, and if he felt like it, he could wreck the DC universe.
And he has.
And then put it back together.
Right.
Right. I just don't know that there's anybody like that in Marvel and that there would be no, it'd just be out of place. It would feel weird.
Yep. I agree.
And so, yeah, and I agree. Wolverine has to stay Marvel. I mean, he epitomizes Marvel, who in that morally gray, but leans good.
Yeah.
More time than not. And when he does lean bad, he's not doing it out of evil gain. He's doing it out of what needs to be done.
Right.
Even if that puts him in the bad, you know, gray area, the negative side of the gray area. And that's where, I mean, think about it. If you actually, we got to go here in a second, but if you actually think about Marvel, there's a ton of people that line up in that new, in that morally gray spot. And so it's just two different approaches, which is why I think, you know, both are needed and both are good.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just about to say that. But because we're almost out of time, we have to shut this down.
Yep.
So, as usual, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter. Let us know your thoughts. And, as usual, stay geeky, my friends.
Embrace your inner geek.
We will talk to you guys next week. We're out of here. Later.
You're still here. It's over. Go home.